The Me Too movement has shown a brighter spotlight on issues of sexual harassment and workplace behavior, especially conducted by those in power. According to reports obtained by GLT through Freedom of Information Act requests, the Unit 5 school district recently handled its own Me Too moment surrounding their now former Director of Human Resources and Student Services, James Harden. GLT's Mary Cullen has the story.
Last month, the Unit 5 school district approved a resignation agreement with their now former Director of Human Resources and Student Services, James Harden. His name went on a list of personnel action items. Harden's office emptied. The board voted unanimously to accept an agreement to pay Harden nearly $34,000 in pay for several months remaining on his contract and unused vacation. Unit 5 hired Harden in July of 2017 with a base salary of $126,000. That fall, sources from Unit 5 say Harden started down a path of workplace harassment. This is a GLT staff member reading portions of text from documents the station requested under the Freedom of Information Act.
Dr. Harden treats women as though we are a bother. We are beneath him. And he would lie to us and ignore us to not have to deal with real questions that we have as to what is being done in HR and in our office.
GLT met with three people who worked closely with Harden and said they felt the harassment firsthand. Their names are withheld in this report. Their experiences tell a story of improper behavior spanning more than a year and a half.
I think they knew they had a serious problem when the director of human resources is accused of doing these things.
That's John Pryor, a retired psychology professor at Illinois State University. He has researched sexual harassment for 30 years and was among the first scholars to publish reports on the topic. Sources say Harden started with small comments about sex and race, this one at a monthly staff potluck.
He would make comments about the foods that white people would eat, saying, "White people are crazy. You would never catch black people eating green bean casserole at a family holiday meal. Never. White people eat disgusting shit."
The comments escalated to sexually charged incidents.
While walking past a large conference table placed in the hallway of the district office, Harden mentioned that I should schedule having the table moved to his home. Then he went over to the table, acted as if he was clearing the table of imaginary items on top of it, and then got on the table and acted out having sex with his wife.
Two sources tell GLT they were in the hallway with a group of women when Harden pretended to be having sex with his wife on the conference table. Neither spoke out.
Who are you supposed to report to when it's the Director of Human Resources who is doing this?
The Director of Human Resources is the person who usually manages complaints. It says so in Harden's job duties, right next to promote Unit 5 as a positive workplace for all employees. Here's researcher John Pryor.
I thought the repeated story about the table and his, someone pantomiming having sex with his wife on his table was a pretty bizarre story. But it makes it even more bizarre to think that the Director of Human Resources is saying that stuff.
Pryor says that's what makes such reports even more surprising.
You ought to know better, for one thing. I mean, that's another thing you would think, that somebody who has that kind of position would have himself already undergone pretty extensive education with regard to harassment kinds of issues, things like that.
8 months after the conference table incident in May of 2018, a woman filed the first formal complaint of sexual harassment against James Harden, according to reports obtained by GLT.
I was having a conversation with a friend, and we were talking about the steps on our Fitbits. Dr. Harden joined the conversation by saying that he makes his steps go up by... He then made a hand gesture as if he was masturbating. I said to someone in the district that if Dr. Harden does that stuff to the wrong person, as the executive director of HR, we are going to be in trouble.
But even before the formal complaint of sexual harassment, Harden's behavior was not news to the school board or district administration. Women consistently approached district leaders with their stories of harassment. When one source approached District Superintendent Mark Daniel in January of 2018 about the conference table incident and other events the previous fall, the woman says he dismissed her, simply saying, "We're done." The three alleged victims told GLT they felt trapped in a hostile work environment with nowhere to turn and nothing changing. John Pryor says any complaint is basis for an investigation.
I think that if there's any kind of complaint where somebody seems legitimately bothered by some behavior that's gender-based or sex-based in the workplace or race-based in the workplace, then that's sufficient reason to investigate it in some fashion.
Then in June of 2018, just weeks after the first letter went into Hardin's file, Unit 5 began the investigation the women had been hoping for. 5 days after Unit 5 hired an outside law firm to look into the allegations against Hardin, a second letter accused him of additional acts of sexual harassment.
He told me how much he liked having sex and having sex with his wife.
The investigation lasted a month. The district says Hardin was on paid leave for the duration. In a letter of reprimand placed in Hardin's personnel file, Superintendent Daniel said the investigators found all complaints of sexual harassment and racial harassment credible, despite Hardin's denial of making sexual comments or gestures.
He would tell me he loved coming to my office for chocolate kisses while making kissing lips motions, when he would grab Hershey Kisses from my candy dish.
The letter states Hardin told investigators that he has called female staff members by his wife's name when they would get fussy. At some point, Hardin told investigators he was the target of or overheard racially insensitive comments or messages. Pryor says if Hardin really was being racially harassed, that could have impacted his leaving the district.
I was curious about that because it really was something that was kind of just thrown out there and not really explained with regard to what he had alleged. But in terms of his deciding to resign from his job, that could be a factor.
In the end, Hardin got what the women said they felt was a slap on the wrist and returned to work. Superintendent Daniel gave him a list for remediation that included cease making any comments or gestures of a sexual nature, even in a joking manner, cease calling staff members by your wife's name, and attend additional training on sexual harassment as directed by the superintendent. ISU professor John Pryor says the response from the district is pretty reasonable.
You don't want to go from something like that, these kinds of complaints, to immediately firing someone. Now, obviously, there seems to be information suggesting that Mr. Hardin or Dr. Hardin did not respond in some sort of way to the training such that he changed his behavior.
The district declined comment on the question why it did not start an investigation when the women complained verbally and waited until they complained on paper. But Pryor says Hardin shouldn't have needed the additional training in the first place, and that Hardin should have been the expert on what is and isn't appropriate workplace behavior.
And also, I think that it's really kind of an abuse of the position to engage in those kinds of behaviors and think that you should be able to do so with impunity or not be concerned about these kind of things.
Just when the women thought it was over, the district launched a second investigation into Hardin in November of last year. 4 months after the first investigation closed, school board president Barry Hitchens reached out to outside lawyers for another investigation into certain complaints and to provide advice concerning any legal implications arising from the complaints. It's unclear what prompted the second investigation. One of the women tells GLT it related to complaints made by educators in the district, not just administrative staff. As another source familiar with the situation who asked to remain anonymous puts it, Hardin's behavior didn't improve after the first investigation, that he appeared to take it as a joke, and his inappropriate behavior continued. Researcher John Pryor says he can't get over the power relationship in this case.
I think that the thing that makes this case something that, I'm not sure how unique it is, but it's something that is a contextual factor is important in understanding, is understanding what his position was, that he was the director of human resources, and that's the last person you want involved in this kind of thing.
The week following the launch of the second investigation, Lindsay Dickinson, the president of Unit 5's teachers union, addresses the school board in open session, raising concerns about poor communication and working relationships between unnamed administrators and employees. Dickinson now confirms to GLT her comments related to Harden's behavior and job performance, but she declined to say more. A month later, a third complaint letter alleging harassment went into Harden's file in the ongoing investigation.
It was brought to my attention that James Harden, Executive Director of Human Resources and Student Services, has been referring to myself and a variety of other women employed by the district as batshit crazy. Dr. Daniel did agree that this is the terminology that has been used.
By the time the investigation closes in January, the district has spent more than $32,000 on legal fees relating to the allegations against Harden. A source says she asked for a summary letter from the investigation, customary for all those involved, but the district never compiled one. The district confirms that also missing from Harden's file is a letter detailing the results of the second investigation or any reprimands. 2 months later, Harden signed a resignation agreement where the district would pay out the remaining $27,000 on his contract, plus over $6,500 in unused vacation. John Pryor says the lengthy timeline is not unusual for such cases. He says it takes time to investigate and offer due process.
I must admit, in looking at that, felt that, they're basically just trying to get rid of him. They look at this as something they got to pay to make it kind of go away. they could be concerned about some sort of countersuits or things like that.
But Pryor says, as the director of HR, Harden should have been held to a higher standard. The first written complaint alleging sexual harassment was filed 9 months before Harden's resignation. Asked why it took so long for the district to take action, Board President Barry Hitchens says,
"This is a personnel issue and I'm not at liberty to discuss it."
So why did the district pay out Harden when people leave jobs all the time? Hitchens says,
"Again, I'm going to state that this is a personnel matter and we're not going to make a comment."
In the legal sense, Hitchens' hands are tied. So are Harden's, who tells GLT his attorney advised him not to comment on this report. Harden's resignation agreement includes a mutual non-disparagement clause. Any member of the Unit 5 school board is barred from speaking publicly about Harden, and in turn, Harden cannot disparage the district, its board, administration, employees, or students. Those not included in this non-disparagement agreement are Superintendent Mark Daniel and the district administration staff, who declined to comment and deferred to Board President Hitchens, who again is legally prevented from speaking publicly on this. Combined with the outside legal fees, Unit 5 spent nearly $66,000 addressing and resolving the allegations against Harden. Allegations that Pryor says no director of HR should have against them.
This guy's the head of human resources, which is the part of the organization that should be concerned primarily about these kinds of behaviors and workplace civility that would be a part of making the workplace something that's not a hostile environment for the people who work there.
Pryor says the district did the right thing. Harden's gone. But he also says it shouldn't have been a problem stemming from the HR director in the first place. I'm Mary Cullen.
Find an interactive timeline detailing the events leading up to Harden's resignation at WGLT.org. All documents referenced in this report were obtained by GLT through several Freedom of Information Act requests. GLT's Ryan Denham, Laura Kennedy, and Melissa Liebert contributed to this report.